What's happening, everybody? Welcome to another episode. It's feeling like summer around these parts because today for our family was officially the last day of school. Our daughters are moving on from first grade, hitting the big second grade. You know, it's a big day. It's a big day for everybody in the household. It's also a big day for the parents in the household because it means that officially we will get no work done from the hours of 8 to 2:30, where previously, at least for the past, you know, 7 months or so, we've been pretty productive during those hours. But now I am fearful that no work will get done in this house for the entire summer. But it's okay. You know, we're going to make it work. You know, on today's episode, what I wanted to talk about was something that's been coming up, and it mixes very well with this idea of summer and kids being home and parents trying to balance now this sort of new work. And in some ways, we've been doing this for the last year with COVID, but, you know, we have this different relationship when you're parents of the 9 months out of the year and then summer, because now you got kids home. Now you got to figure out what to do, how to keep them entertained. It brings whole new life and conversation to work-life balance. And interestingly enough, I don't know why, maybe because it's summer, I've started to see this conversation more and more again around work-life balance. And I want to just put to bed once and for all the idea of work-life balance even being a thing. It's not. We have got to stop talking about work-life balance like it exists, because it doesn't. It's not real. That is to suggest that the two are separate and you have to balance them on other ends of the teeter-totter. And, you know, I'm reminded recently, I had the honor and privilege and so much fun emceeing an event for a past client of mine that I spoke to. Emceeing is not my gig, right? It's not something I do on a regular basis. And this was the first time that a client has reached out to me asking if I could emcee an event. Truth be told, it was a last minute deal. Their MC had some extenuating circumstances they couldn't control that were going to keep them from emceeing the event. And so they called me up because we've kept a relationship over the years. They sort of know the energy and things that I bring. And they're like, hey, could you help us out? And I was like, yeah, I happen to be free next week. So let me see if I can scramble and make plans work and get up there. And we did. And it was great. And I loved it. Such a great group of people. But, you know, it was my first time emceeing this event. And as somebody who's normally speaking on the stage, it's a whole new perspective to get to see the behind the scenes and to really, in a way, almost have to pay attention to everything that's happening at a conference, because I'm going to use that material when I get up on stage to either introduce the next guest or after somebody speaks. I want to, you know, grab some learnings from that and help, you know, make that settle in for the audience. So normally when I'm speaking, I might get to peek in on some different things, or I might get to hear a little bit, but I don't really get to fully immerse myself in a conference. And so this was different for me, but I loved it because I got to see over the course of 2 days some really, really amazing speakers. And one of which that I want to just call attention to, his name is Kelly Cardenas. He's an amazing, like, sort of speaker, servant leadership, mindset, business owner. You can certainly look Kelly up. He's all over the place, social media and with his businesses. Multiple businesses, started off as a sort of hair salon business and has grown and built that. But one of the things I love that Kelly said, and there's a couple things. First off, on stage, Kelly really mentioned to the fact how people will hear what they want to hear. And I've noticed this as a speaker when I get up and I talk sometimes and I share a message. I know what I said. I've practiced it enough. I know the words that came out of my mouth. But it is interesting afterwards when somebody comes up to you and they tell you what you said and it's nothing that came out of your mouth. But what they heard was how they interpreted what you said. And, you know, and most times that's great, right? But what Kelly was kind of making a joke about was how, you know, people would hear like you know, be your best self. And afterwards, they would come up and explain how Kelly just justified all of the bad decisions that they were making in life. And so I love that part. But the other thing that he said, and this is where I'm going to interpret Kelly's words in the way that I heard them, is he talked about sort of this work-life balance. And he used an example. And if you're watching the video here, I'm going to recreate it. Again, Kelly, if you're watching this, I'm recreating this in the way that I heard. But he talked about work-life balance being, you know, 50-50, right? And if you're watching the video, I'm holding up a bottle that is half filled with green water and nothing at the top, right? So this is your idea of work-life balance, right? It's 50-50. And there needs to be equal balance in your life. But what I love that Kelly talked about is if you turn that bottle sideways, what you start to notice is that, sure, maybe there's balance in there, but you're also not giving 100% to either one of them. You're not giving 100% to your work anymore, and you're not giving 100% to your quote-unquote life. And I just like that visualization, right? Because it certainly jives with kind of what I've always felt about work-life balance that doesn't really mix. Is it's not about this sort of equality in it. If I'm trying to be somebody different at work than I am in life, then I'm not really giving my full self to either one of those things. And maybe that's worse. So shout out to Kelly for kind of, you know, giving me that visual and example. And it's another reason why I love going to these conferences and getting to see some amazing minds. But when we're talking about work-life balance, I really think we have to completely throw that conversation out the window. They aren't separate things. And I remember in my corporate career being told to kind of shelter a little bit of your personal side when it comes to work. I remember being told in interviews, there was always this sort of moment at the beginning of an interview where they would just ask you a general question, right? You know, tell us about yourself. And it was interesting. I always wanted to tell people about the personal side of my life, more so than the work, because I knew over the course of that interview, we would talk about work, but we probably weren't going to get a chance to really talk about my personal life, like why I am the way that I am. And so I would generally start off interviews by sharing some of the personal parts of my life, my family, my spouse, my kids, whatever it may be, right? That was who made me who I was and who I brought to work each day. And I got coached frequently that maybe that wasn't the best approach to an interview. You know, really you needed to keep it more about work and not necessarily so much the personal side, because hey, some people aren't comfortable talking about that. And I found that interesting. You know, I also found it interesting that there's other people that would coach you and say, yeah, you absolutely need to talk about the personal side. That's important too. And surprisingly enough, those were always the leaders or the mentors that I really gravitated towards. But, you know, I think we've seen this now more so with COVID, how those lines that we keep between work-life balance are just non-existent. I mean, you know, I'm joking about my kids being home this summer and getting no work done. But like I said, with what we've all experienced in this last year, we've seen how the lines between work and life really get blurred. We've seen the videos of the newscaster, right? Who was trying to share information on the news and his kids knocking down the door, coming through, and the babysitter, caregiver, spouse is running through to try to pull the kids out, right? Or I know for me, I'm looking over here, if you're watching the video to my left, because that's where the door is to my office. I can't tell you how many conference calls or in some cases, a few keynotes that I've given virtually where my kids are lightly knocking on the door, trying to see what daddy's up to. And, you know, that's the reality is that's what it is. That's life, but that's also work. That's who we are. And so I just want us to start really thinking about work-life balance in different terms and understanding that they're not really separate. And those lines have gotten blurred for so many years, but it's really come to light here in especially in this last year, that who you are at work is the same person you are in life, and who you are in life is the same person you are at work. And if those two people aren't the same, if they're different, then maybe we're the one that needs to change in that equation. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself, are you the same person at work as you are in life? Are those two people the same? Or are you trying to be somebody different for 50% of every waking day? Because that's what it is, right? When we think about, we use that traditional maybe 8-hour workday, right? 8 hours you're at work, 8 hours you're at home or outside of work, and 8 hours, if you're lucky, you're sleeping. Now, I know some of you survive on 5 hours because you're crazy. But generally speaking, right, we spend as much time at work as we do at home. So are you the same person? And if you're not, if you can't confidently answer that question affirmatively, then we really have to start asking some questions why. I mean, we hear so much talk about like being our authentic selves. And I do believe in that idea. But are we being our authentic self when we come into work, when we're leading teams, in our leadership practices and principles? Are we being authentically who we are? And sometimes I think the answer is no. More often than not, I think the answers are no. And part of that's based on my experience. I'll share some stories with you here in a second. But for you, I think we really have to ask if we're being authentic. And so if not, the question becomes why? So for you, if you're listening and you're thinking about yourself, are you authentically yourself at home and at work? And is that the same person that shows up every day? If the answer is no, then ask yourself why. And I know for me, the reason why was because I think at times in my career, I was always seeking the approval of other people. I had a corporate background. I was young without kids at the time, and I wanted to move my way up the company and be an executive at that organization at some point in my career. So I was going to do what I needed to do in order to make that happen. Now, hopefully I don't mean that in ways of like burning bridges and throwing people under the bus along the path. Like, I wanted to do it the right way, but I knew that I had to be a certain person to be an executive. I would look at the executives at the organization and say, oh, well, they've followed these certain paths and they've done these certain things. So I got to be like that. I got to dress like that. I wanted to seek the approval of those people in those seats so that hopefully I could get invited to the table. And what I realized is that if that person that you're trying to be isn't who you actually are, then do you really want to get to that table? Do you really want to not be who you are, make it to some level of authority or some level of responsibility, and find out that when you get there, you're not really even being yourself? Now, eventually for me, I realized that that's not who I wanted to be. And that is no organization's fault. That's no other person's fault. That's just my own realization for myself that earlier in my career, when I wanted these things, I wasn't showing up exactly who I was each day, and that was a big moment for me to just recognize, like, I need to be the same person I am at home that I am at work. And I think sometimes when we say that, like, we're scared of what that answer might be. Like, if you can ask my wife Megan, you can ask my kids, like, who am I at home? And maybe that person shouldn't be in a corporate environment. I mean, it's very possible. I'm being real with y'all, right? Maybe that person should not be leading teams because I'm kind of goofy. I'm kind of weird and dorky and all those types of things, right? But that is who I am. And so if I'm not being that person when I show up to work, then do I really want to change myself to be somebody that I think other people want me to be? So that's a question I would ask you all is why? Why are you not the same at work and in life as you want to be? And generally, that'll help us figure out maybe some of the underlying thoughts behind it. But the second thing I think we have to ask is, what steps can we take to get there? If we've realized that maybe we're not being the same, what do we do about it? And for me, I know one of the things that changed was a very small thing, but I realized the way that I was dressing was absolutely outside of who I was. And what I mean by that, if you're watching the video right, I'm wearing a pineapple shirt right now, okay? If you normally find me out in town, walking around the streets or going to the store, I'm probably in gym shorts and a gym shirt, you know, something of that nature. I'm casual. But here I was earlier in my career going to work every day wearing a suit, sometimes wearing a tie with it. I think at one point I got really into cufflinks and I was wearing cufflinks and a belt with a tie clip or a tie, you know, a shirt with a tie clip. And when I really think back on that, I mean, that's not who I was. You would never find me outside of work wearing that. The first thing I would do when I got home was strip off those clothes, get out of them because, oh, it wasn't comfortable. I want to be free at home. And so I'd change into something that was more me. And so one of the things that I started to do once I realized I'm not being the same person I am at work than I am at home is I changed the way I dressed. And at this time I was in leadership at this organization. And I started wearing t-shirts to work. We instituted, this is not my idea, but I was fully supportive of this. We started instituting Fun Shirt Friday, where Fridays we would wear, you know, maybe a graphic t-shirt that had a joke on it. Something, you know, respectable, you know, didn't want to get HR called or anything like that. But I wanted to be a little bit more of who I was at home at work. And I'll tell you what, it was something as simple as that was very freeing because I didn't feel like I was being somebody different anymore. I wore a Notorious B.I.G. shirt to work because I loved his music. And that's you know, what gave me energy and what I love to do. So that's another question I think we have to ask ourselves. What steps can we take to be our authentic self at work in the interim? And sometimes they're going to be really small steps like the ways that you dress. But then the last thing, you know, I really had to think about, and I would encourage you all to think about if you're not being the same at home and at work, is find out what's most important to you and be all in on that. Because for me, as I'm going through this journey with myself, I really had to ask myself, what am I really about? And I was always about my family. I was always about especially at this time I'm going through this, my wife had just had our daughters. Let's be real. I did nothing in that process. I was not there, you know, putting in the hard work that she was. Okay. She did the work there, but we had our daughters and, you know, it certainly changed my perspective on what I wanted to do and what was important to me. And so family was very, very, very important to me. And if I was going to go all in on that, I'm gonna go back to the water example. So again, if you're watching the video, I couldn't have this work-life balance and not give one to the other. If I was going to be at work, I needed to be all in on work. And if I was going to be at home, I needed to be all in at home. And I've told this story before. It's the most, again, most simple thing that happens in life. But when our daughters were very, very young, less than a year old, I would come home from work, let's say at 5 o'clock at night. And very oftentimes I would set my computer up right there on the kitchen table as soon as I walked in the door. And sometimes I would jump right back into doing emails. I had just left the office 15, 20 minutes ago. But by the time I got home, obviously something needed to be done at work, or at least in my head, I thought it needed my attention right now. And so I would jump right back into work. And as I did that, just repeatedly over and over, one night, my wife Megan came up to me and without any like anger in her voice, not even thinking that what she was going to say was going to be some profound moment for me. But she just said, "Hey, Matt, the girls go to sleep in an hour. You only got 1 hour. Just put the emails away and get back to it after they go to sleep." And I'll tell you what, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks because I said I was all about family and I said that that was the most important thing to me. I was personally having trouble balancing work and life, not because of something anybody else did, but because of my own actions. If I was going to be who I wanted to be and who I said I was going to be, then when I'm at work, I need to put my time in and effort at work. But when I'm at home, I needed to be home and I needed to give my energy there. So I think it's really important for us to figure out that certainly we're going to have to occasionally give maybe a little bit more effort at work or a little bit more effort at home, but it's not about finding this balance. It's about understanding that work and life together coexist. And instead of finding balance, we need to find out where and when we put our energy into certain aspects of it with the same energy that we're going to put it into other areas of our life and work as well. And for me, that was the day that I realized I'm going to work when I'm at work. I'm going to work as hard as I can. But when I'm at home, I'm going to be there. And when I lead teams, I'm going to make sure that I understand what's important to them. And I'm going to give them the same time and the same energy so that they can focus where they need to when they need it. It's not balance. It's not giving 50% to each. It's giving 100% to the areas that you need it at the time that you need it. So if you're still listening and you're thinking about, do you have this work-life balance and what is it? First off, let's remember that it doesn't exist. Work-life balance is a term we need to stop talking about, and we need to understand that life happens, and life is encompassing of work and family and fun and all the things that come with life. They're all there. So let's give energy and time to the important parts of it. And sometimes that's going to be work. Sometimes that's going to be family. Sometimes that's going to be these other things. If you feel like you're out of whack, ask yourself why. Ask yourself what little steps are keeping you from being yourself when you're at work, and then really honing in on those important parts and making sure that you give them the time that they need when you need it. So this was a good reminder for me. I want to thank Kelly Cardenas again for just that visual. And Kelly, I know I probably tore the story up, and that's fine. That's how I heard it, and that's how I will remember it. But as we get into the summer, as we get into these summer months and things are a little bit more hectic and crazy, you know, just realize that it's going to be okay. It's going to be, if you've got young kids that are running through the house, it's okay. We all recognize that work and life exist together. So eventually, hopefully, if I continue to do my job correctly over the course of the next 10, 15, 20 years, we will stop talking about work-life balance and we'll just realize that we're all going through life together. And it's a pretty good opportunity we have in front of us to make it the best that we possibly can. So I want to thank you all for listening again. Hope you enjoy the start to your summer. Hope you have some fun plans ahead of you. For us, we're going to take the kids out for a little trip here for 1 week, see some family, see some friends. Very, very excited, and then get back to some work stuff that we have later on coming up in the next couple of months. So if you're enjoying listening to these episodes, do me a favor. Please go out to YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a rating. Let me know what you're taking from these episodes, who you want to hear on future episodes as guests, and we'll keep putting this thing out. I hope you're loving it, because I'm loving doing it. I'm loving the conversations. I'm looking forward to some of the ones that we've got coming up. So thanks so much again, and we will talk to you all soon.